sales reps spend on average 25 hours a month building their own sales assets. And that just shows just this tremendous lack of trust between sales and marketing. I'm going to give you the secret to how to make sales love every single lead that you give to them. You want to know what the secret is?
I think it's terribly important to insist on individual values.
Learning Culture Podcast.
Initiative, creation, all these things which we value. It's now possible to make organizations on a larger scale than was ever possible before.
Learning Culture Podcast.
Teach people to analyze the kind of things that are said to them.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Learning Culture Podcast. I am your host, Andrew Barry. This is a show about creating cultures of continuous learning inside companies. And joining me this week for the second week in a row is Paul Slack. As I mentioned, Paul is the CEO of Vendi Digital. I mentioned this a week ago when we released an episode that really just unpacked Paul's brain and delivered a masterclass in marketing in 2023. I think he brings a really fresh perspective to things. And so if you missed that episode, make sure you go back, check that one out first, because it does a lot of framing for the episode that you're about to listen to. And in today's episode, we're going to tackle a problem that a lot of companies and a lot of people in enablement struggle with. And that is, and I hear this all the time. I was talking to a head of sales the other day, and there is a lot of animosity between him and the head of marketing. They have very different personalities. They work very differently. They really should, they are working on the exact same thing, right? They're working for the same goal, but the way they go about it is very counterproductive. And in today's episode, we're going to unpack that. Why does that happen? And Paul's going to share his perspective on how to fix that. He's a former sales guy, so he brings a lot of experience working in sales, and now he runs this digital marketing and demand gen company. So he talks to marketing people all the time. And so being able to look at it from those two perspectives frames what I find is a very interesting place for enablement to play a valuable role, and that is in bringing these two functions together for the greater good of the company. So sit back and enjoy this special second episode with Paul Slack. All right, Paul. So that was a really great first episode that we put out there. And in the remainder of this conversation, I want to dive into everything that you've just shared in the previous episode about marketing and your experience in that space. And the fact that you talked about this in the first episode, that you were a sales guy for many years. And I want to get to the heart of a matter that a lot of people listening to the show struggle with. And that is this, the barriers that exist between sales and marketing. So for anybody listening, if you didn't check out episode one, go back and do that, because Paul has a very, I want to say a spiky point of view, but a very clear and very fresh and unique point of view around marketing, which will give you context for this particular episode. And yeah, in this one. So it's maybe just, if you can elucidate the problem a little bit, Paul, what do you see in terms of what people struggle with? Why marketing and sales often are at odds?
Yeah. So yeah, that's a great place to start, because there is a problem, right? And I think people struggle with it. And I'm going to share the problem from a couple of different perspectives. So you've got marketing who feels like they're going through all this hard work of thinking about messaging, thinking about the target accounts, getting those messages into market, running initiatives to generate leads. They hand these leads off to a bunch of prima donnas that don't really want to work that hard, that just want deals teed up on a silver platter. And then they get mad when they find out that they're not hitting their numbers, but then they're not following up on the leads that marketing has provided. And so marketing is pointing fingers at sales going, I did all this work, I spent all this money, and I generated all these leads, and you didn't do anything with them. Why didn't you do anything with them? So that's the frustration on the marketing side. On the sales side, what they think is going on, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Andrew, I'd love to get your perspective on this, but it's like marketing just does crappy work. I mean, the stuff they kick over to us is like Gmail, email addresses. They don't even have the right emails. I call these people up. They've never heard of us. They don't know who we are. And so all
wrong personas.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just a waste of my time. you know, I'd much rather go and do it on my own. And so you've got these sales reps that are like, oh no, not another lead from marketing, you know, and you've got marketing going, these guys are a bunch of gals are a bunch of prima donnas. And, you know, there's some interesting data that really validates some of this. And maybe I can find the source of this. We can put it in the show notes because I can't remember exactly who said it. But 90% of marketing materials created for sales. So this is like sales enablement material. 90% of that content is never used by sales. 90%.
No,
the second, I believe that. The second piece to that is that sales reps spend on average 25 hours a month building their own sales assets. So they're not using
from scratch,
right? They're not using the stuff that marketing's producing. And then yet they're spending, instead of making calls or moving deals through the funnel, they're building their own assets. And that just shows just this tremendous lack of trust between sales and marketing. And, you know, the thing that I tell marketers, because I speak primarily to marketers, is I say this usually when I have a meeting with them for the first time. I'm like, I'm going to give you the secret to how to make sales love every single lead that you give to them. You want to know what the secret is? And of course, they always are like, yeah, I really do.
Lean in.
Yeah, lean in. Yeah. And you know what the secret is, guys? Give them leads of people that are ready to buy now. Simple. If every lead you passed on to your market or your sales department was somebody that was a hand raiser that says, I'm trying to figure out how your solution is going to work in my environment. And every time you handed a lead off to sales, it was somebody in that scenario. Guess what? The sales reps are going to think your leads are the very, very best. And so the challenge, and again, I speak mostly to marketers. I put the burden on them. It's like, guys, here's why sales doesn't like your leads. They're crap. Your leads are crap. Why don't you optimize for handing off now buyers that are really ready to talk to sales? Then sales is going to like your leads.
Yeah. And I love that. And so for anybody, again, who missed the first episode, to find out how to do just that, go back and listen to it. Because that is exactly what we covered, I think, in that first episode at a decently high level because we only had a limited amount of time. But it was a lot of information in there. And I'm glad you pointed that out because it did seem to me that the burden was on the marketing team.
Right.
To raise to the next level, essentially. But what can sales do? Now, put that your old hat on as a sales guy, and what can sales do to maybe even help with that?
Yeah, so I'm going to talk about ABM in the last episode quite a bit. I'm going to bring it up here too, because I really do think account-based marketing is one of the best ways to solve this sales and marketing alignment challenge. Because when you guys can agree that these are our target accounts, and then we can tier those accounts out in a tier one, tier two, and tier three, and create some guardrails and some rules of engagement around how we're going to go after these accounts, that's going to solve a lot of challenges, right? Because then, and again, I think marketing can take some responsibility here, but the role that sales can have is be willing to work with your marketing department. You know, here's what I coach, and I'm going to pivot it because I know you want this from the sales perspective. But one of the things I coach marketers on is, you know, instead of going to marketing or sales and tell them about the go-to-market strategies you're going to run for Q2 or this next quarter, go to them and say, hey, guys, I want to help you make your quota. What are some things that I can do to help you make your quota? Let's come together on how we're going to make your number. And all of a sudden, that the barriers just seem to start to melt away. And so now we can start thinking about tactically, how do we do that? Well, the first thing you can do is really work on this target account list and then decide together who's on the target account list, who's in tier one, who's in tier two, who's in tier three. And then for the tier one accounts, this is a huge opportunity for marketing and sales to say, okay, here's 20 accounts, here's 50 accounts, whatever they are that are assigned to you, Mr. Sales Rep. Let's figure out, what is it that you need? What information do you need to get this account excited about us? And let's build a strategy together. Maybe they want a personalized content hub. Maybe we need to do some emails. Maybe we need to do a combination of emails that are branded to the company that are also branded to the sales rep. Let's come together and figure that stuff out. And so what ends up happening is now it's a partnership. And when we do those things together and we actually execute on that partnership, amazing things happen. In fact, statistically, what I've seen is that when marketing and sales come together, they not only do they close like 6 times more business, but the average deal is 171% higher than when sales and marketing are working independent of one another. And so it really just starts with simply, hey, these are the accounts we're going after this quarter. These are the ones that are in tier one. Here's what we're going to do for those tier one accounts to really get their attention. And here's how marketing is going to support you in the tier two and tier three accounts. But when you think about the rules of engagement, there is a function for the SDR. There's a function for the account executive. And there's really, and it's important that marketing understands how those two teams are going to work together. And it really, all those things tie to the overall objectives. Like, for example, that SDR, you know, what marketing really needs that SDR to do is to map the account, to really go and build connections with all the buying committee. And then, as we talked about in that last episode, Andrew, we want them to become this information concierge. We really need them to get out there and say, hey, Andrew, we've got this webinar next week on GA4. I really was thinking about you when I saw that show up on our schedule, and I really would love for you to come to that. I think it'll be valuable to your business. That's like an SDR kind of function. And then the AE's job really is, if marketing is doing their job and they're working in good concert with the SDR, then they should be spending their time getting ready for these sales meetings, which should be high intent sales meetings, because marketing and SDR are really handling everything in between.
Yeah, exactly. Where the high intent discussion and conversations around how is this solution going to work for our unique business?
Right.
Essentially, right? Answering that question.
Yeah. So the account executives really got to get consensus, right? So, you know, I've kind of oversimplified the role of the SDR in marketing and making it, or oversimplified really the account executive's role. The hard work happens when somebody raises their hand, because think about it. There's going to be a coach or a champion inside of that account that you're trying to close. There's going to be five to seven other people that may be champions for a competitor, that may not want your service, that may have complete different priorities. Yeah, exactly. Yep. And so the real work begins when you have a hand raiser, because that account executive's got to gain consensus, has got to help them align that buying committee behind their product or solution and really validate that this is the way to go for your business. So it's, by no means do I want to mitigate that role of account executive, but the idea is, let's have them spend all of their time doing those things instead of working low quality leads.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And for one of the best explanations I've seen of that part of things, and I don't know if you've seen him on Paul on LinkedIn, is Nate Nasrallah. He's so good at that particular part, what you just described so perfectly there. And we did an episode together, episode 59, for those listening, came out at the end of March. And yeah, I mean, his content on that particular step is so good. I want to point out here that a lot of people listening to this are in enablement and play this kind of role. And right now that enablement function and role is in flux in terms of what its value is to an organization. And you know, in the first episode, you and I talked about learning culture, and we talked about education as marketing, and we talked about you have such a great grasp of that whole end-to-end buying process, right? From marketing to AE to beyond CSM. And to me, it seems like one of the core roles that someone in enablement can play is that broker of all of these, you know, that conversation you said, that let's get marketing and sales together. That's can be often not driven by one or the other. It's driven by enablement.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because, you know, at the end of the day, when you think about sales enablement, it's just like buyer enablement. We're trying to make sure that all the resources and assets and everything that's necessary is available to support the sales process, right? Because ultimately, what we're trying to do is make selling easier, right? I mean, sales enablement is about making selling easier. Marketing is about making selling easier. And so this is a tremendous opportunity. Andrew, I hadn't even quite thought about it the way you described it, but I love that. Because you kind of need this neutral party, if you will, that has a good grasp of both sides of the fence to really help orchestrate the process. And quite frankly, I mean, even help formulate the different plays that you're going to want to run, and help educate both sides of the organization, the sales and marketing side, you know, how those things are working. So that's a really good point.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love this, Paul. It's been fun to kind of learn from you, honestly, in both these two episodes, and to start to piece together kind of how, you know, the side of the house that I support can play a role in all of this. I want to be conscious of our time together. I want to bring this little segment, this episode, to an end by giving you a chance to kind of share your last piece of advice, your words from the perspective that you're in now, you know, in that marketing role, you look at it more holistically than most people I've talked to around that. And so with that framing in mind, like what is that last message you want to give to people that are in that enablement role that we've just talked about in terms of like understanding the value of marketing, understanding the barriers between that and sales, and just how to make sense of all this?
You know, I think that the key to all of this, and if we're going to be successful in marketing to buyers in 2023 and beyond, we really have to understand that our buyers are on a self-guided journey, that our buyers are truly out there feeling empowered to get to the information that they need on their own. And that if we're going to be successful, the true path is to begin with the end in mind, understand what are the buyers really needing at the different stages of their journey, and then figuring out the best possible way to get that information in front of them, which is going to be a collaboration between sales and marketing. It has to be. And quite frankly, sales, marketing, and the stack, because the stack's going to help you see things. The stack's going to help you personalize things. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it's understanding this customer's at this stage. This is the information that they need. These are the ways that we're going to get it to them. This is how marketing is going to get it to them. This is how the SDR is going to get it to them. This is how the account executive is going to play a role, and to map through each of the stages of the journey and to figure that stuff out and to get those playbooks documented. Now, in most cases, I think those playbooks get documented by the marketing side. But, you know, Andrew, you made really a great point a couple of minutes ago, and that is, you know, maybe those playbooks get documented or at least facilitated by the sales enablement team, because truly they do touch sales, marketing, and the stack. So that's a really key point. But whenever I get confused or whenever, you know, I'm dealing with somebody that's kind of gotten themselves twisted into a pretzel, I always try to remind people to take a step back, take a deep breath, think about the buyer, think about the things that they need. And really our job, whether you're in sales enablement, whether you're in sales, whether you're in marketing, is really just to educate them and give them the information they need so that they can make an informed decision. And we just need to understand the most effective and efficient way to accomplish that. If we do that better than our competition, we're going to win our fair share of business. It's that simple.
That's a beautiful way to end. And I think that summarizes the double stack of Paul Slack that we've had on the show for the last 2 weeks. So that was awesome, Paul. We're going to include links to your LinkedIn, to Vendee Digital website. Yeah. Thanks for coming on the show. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Andrew, I enjoyed it. I love your content, man. I love your point of view just around education and all that stuff. So glad we were able to come together and do this. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I appreciate you, man. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, an absolute treat to have Paul Slack back-to-back episodes talking about an issue that I know is on many of your minds. If you want to get deeper into some of the areas that we talked about in today's show, in the previous one with Paul, go check out our newsletter. I write every single week to subscribers with exclusive behind-the-scenes content, reflections, stories from the podcast, and from everything else that we're doing at Curious Lion. So if you want to check that out, it's at curiouslionlearning.com/newsletter. I will see you all next week. Hello, hello. I hope you enjoyed that episode. It's Andrew again with a quick message. If you'd like to support the show, the best way to do that is to leave us ratings and reviews where you listened. If you're on YouTube, hit the like and subscribe buttons and feel free to leave a comment. We love hearing from our listeners and viewers. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, please take the time to give us a rating and leave a review. Once again, we love hearing from our loyal listeners. If you're listening to this on Spotify, please hit the follow button to make sure that you don't miss new episodes as they come out. See you next week for another episode of the Learning Culture Podcast. Thank you for listening.